All right, crew. Looks like we're back. It appears to be working. Everything looked a little slow-ish this time, but I've actually got YouTube video. So if you're hearing this, then definitely let us know. Say, hey, it's working. That way we know that everything is okay. But for now, I'm going to assume that it is okay. So welcome. We are live on the YouTubes, of course. And we're simulcast over on the gunchannels.com. So let me get the link as usual for that. Throw it in the side chat. Whoa, that ain't the link. That's the embed code. You guys aren't going to want that. grab the link here. Hold on just a minute. Having all kind of weird issues with YouTube. Go figure, right? So here is the link now for the gun channels. So yeah, you definitely want to check that out. Everything from all of the different content that goes over there, 24/7 gun show, also a cool little thing that you get access to as a gun channels member. And there's a lot of good people hanging out over there. Looks like G-Webs over that way, as well as Scott, Michael, and the Tactical Chicken as well, Mr. Gizzard. And on the YouTubes here, where they're starting to come in, it kind of sucks when you get a stream that that breaks on you, because everybody is kind of tied into and waiting on that particular notification. So, but I think we'll be okay one way or the other. Patriots hanging out there, as well as Crazy Scotsman, looks like Gizzard's out there as well. Too Hottie, Guitar Man Pete, Double A, 817 Maverick out that way, as well as Liberty Cat. Chevelle, haven't seen Chevelle in the last couple of shows, so hey bud. Who else we got? The Karma Man, Mr. Karma, 50 caliber Karma out there with us. Einstein, otherwise known as General Relativity. Guess Who? So what is up, Guess Who? Roosted and the Tactical Pickle. Double A, may have already mentioned Double A, but yeah. So we've got hopefully a pretty good one, a fairly informative one. So as you guys jump in, again, TGIF, and I will do my best to shout you out. There's JBP, Mr. John Brown. And we've got a guest with us. We've got Kirk from A1 Custom Steel Targets, and we're going to talk to him a little bit about the company and steel targets in general, what they offer. What's up, Philo? And so I want some questions out there as we get going here. Throw some questions out there in the chat. I do have Ghost in here with me. He's going to hopefully do a little work tonight, help me monitor some questions and stuff like that. So how are you, Ghost?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, and I'm here at your disposal.
You bet. That's the way I like it. That's the way. I like it. So, yeah, without further ado, introduce you to Mr. Kirk here with A1 Custom Targets. How are you this evening, Kirk?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. I'd like to start out just simply by asking, how did you get into, migrate into making steel targets? How did all that come about?
I had a loan. I was given a loan through the Small Business Association many years ago. And the way they work is you either use the loan or you lose it. They give you so much to use. And then at the end of a year's time, if you don't spend it all, then you lose what you don't spend, and they wrap that up into a loan. So I had an extra X amount of money to spend, and I thought, I've always wanted a CNC table. And so I threw down some money on a table, and didn't really know what I was doing at first, and slowly got into cutting whatever I could cut and made some really good connections, and started off with just one sheet of 3/8 AR500, and then said, hey, give me another sheet. I got another sheet, and then, you know, before I know it, this guy's almost sold out, the steel dealer near me, and he said, hey, we've got to do a we need some more of this, but the only way we can do it's if we buy a production run. So I said, okay, what do we need to do? So we basically agreed to, he agreed to buy a production run, which is about 40,000 pounds of steel. And they come in on 8-foot by 20-foot sheets. And then he will cut them into smaller sheets that I can use, and he'll hold them for me. And then, you know, I first started off doing 3/8, and now I'm in 1/2 inch. And then I've been doing 1/2 inch for a while. And now I think this next week he's going to send me 1/4 inch. So I'll be having some, I'll be getting into 1/4 inch too here soon. Yeah. But it all just started off kind of slowly easing into it. And it's just slowly picked up and picked up. And when someone says, hey, can you make me this? Yeah, I'll make it and sell it. And then they just, it's like a big snowball.
Right. Oh, I totally understand. Now, Ghost, feel free to jump in if you see any questions out there, or you have any of your own. But we basically, you know, the way I got turned on to you guys was at the Tulsa Arms Show. And is that something that, you know, I guess we should put it out there that y'all are out of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Is that a show that y'all make pretty often, or?
Yeah, we make it. No, we make it twice a year. It's one of the bigger shows that we like going to. We don't do too many shows, but we definitely hit it when we can. And it's a lot of money for the tables, but we found out that we're, with the other guys that are selling there, I mean, I don't know how they, I mean, they are big. So, you know, we always do really well, and it's definitely something we enjoy going to.
Right. Yeah. I don't remember seeing you. Ghost and I both were actually up that way in November, back in November as well. And don't remember running across you guys at that, but you know, it's only 11 acres of gun show, right? So
yeah.
You know, now, at least now we know, hey, to look for you, stop by and say hi and all of that sort of thing. And there were several people with us from the gun channels that were up that way. And that's one of the things I walked by, and I don't know, honestly, because I don't recall faces or voices necessarily, you know, with so many people that we talked to up there. But, you know, I did stop by and look at the stuff and you know, particularly the, you know, like the A-frame setup and that sort of stuff. And actually some guys out there that were kind of with our group did buy some stuff. And they posted on Instagram, and that was kind of the last straw for me. I was like, okay, I gotta get in touch with them and, you know, order some of this stuff and try it out. And I'm not through punishing it yet, but so far it's done real well for sure.
Hey, Philo's got a question out there, Clover.
Yeah.
He says, is there a steel that's louder than others, and what's the loudest mounting system?
Ooh, that's a good one.
You know what? Honestly, I do not know the answer to that. I do not know.
Well, it's going to be louder if it's looser, correct? I mean, that would just be...
You would think so, yeah. That would make sense.
I would think that would just be the physics of the thing. If it's on a spring system or something like that, it's probably not going to be as loud if it's hanging. It has that opportunity for the, I think, the steel probably to resonate a little more. So yeah, that's definitely a good one. Now I've seen multiple things and multiple designs up there. What, other than just your standard, you know, round the gongs and what am I thinking, Ghost, the other silhouette style looking.
What am I? I just call it a I just call it a silhouette, honestly.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sam, we have a human silhouette that's really popular. We call him a Slaymaker because they kind of resemble a friend of mine. His name's Slaymaker, so we nicknamed it that. That's the name of it now, but they are really popular. We're sending 20 of them off on Monday to Amazon Prime because we keep selling out of them on there. And it's basically the top half of a human torso. And, I mean, that's one type of silhouette we have. We also have we haven't really made a hostage silhouette in a while where, you know, you got like a flip target behind the head. But, you know, if someone asks us if we make those, we do make those as well. And then we have a standard, more like a block style silhouette as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the, see, I can't think of the, like IDPA style almost or something like that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Calaveras is asking for a link. He's interested in looking at the products to the website.
I will have to.
I can get a. And by the way, the prices are absolutely amazing. I will throw. I'll throw the Facebook link out. Is that cool, Kirk?
The Facebook link will take you to. The Facebook link will actually take you to our Etsy page, and we have not updated pricing on there. So if anyone wants to go on there, you're going to get pricing that's not updated, which is good because, you know, the with the tariffs and all recently, the price of metals jumped up quite a bit. I haven't had a chance to update Etsy. I'm not upset. If anyone wants to buy it, feel free and do it. It's right. It's all still good stuff. So.
Right. Well, that'll get them in touch with you.
Yeah.
Y'all can, of course, hammer it out.
We have an eBay page, an Amazon page, and then an Etsy page, and then we're working on a website right now.
Well, I can go find those probably. Do you know the? That's not what I want.
You know what? I have
Amazon. You know what it is on Amazon?
I don't have a store on Amazon, but I do. The brand name on Amazon's High Caliber. And then the I will send you a link right now to our store on eBay, and there's other stuff we sell. You'll see it's other weird stuff, but
right.
Let me see.
So I'm going to throw out the link, Calaveras, and for everybody else, I'm going to throw out the link for. I don't know that it'll work. But I'm going to throw out the Amazon link for High Caliber. But yeah, if you go to Amazon, search High Caliber, it's right there. So
I will also say that the metal guy I get my metal from, mm-hmm. he's got a pretty large network he deals with, and I've got a really good relationship with him. And, you know, we have to order this stuff pretty much custom most of the time for production runs. But he called – while I was talking to him the other day. He said, Kirk, I found a gold mine. And I said, well, what do you got? And he said, we had a customer stiff us in another facility with a $500,000 of AR, half inch AR 550. So it's not 500, it's 550. So it's a higher abrasion resistance rating on it. And it's really good pricing on it too. So, you know, we're just going to keep selling it like we normally sell it, but our half inch is going to have a much higher, I say much higher. It's going to have a higher abrasive resistance rating on it too, which, you know, if you were to go out in the open market, if I was to go purchase that right now in the open market or have a mill make it for me, it's going to cost 90 plus cents a pound. And right now that stuff I'm getting from this guy and will continue to get from him is it's probably in the mid to high 70 cents a pound range.
Wow.
So it's just a really good deal that I didn't know I was able to find, but he's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, definitely. Now Pilo, I think Pilo's going to get the award for the question asker of the day, maybe, but he's asking, are your stands 2x4 or steel? I know you were talking to me about potentially the other day about potentially a new style stand, but if you would explain explain the bracket system, sort of like the one like I've got.
Okay. And there's two types of bracket systems we have. Actually, the second one's not even up on eBay. I just need to bite the bullet and do it. I have them ready to go. It's just laziness on my part. But the first bracket system, it all revolves around a 1-inch electrical conduit pipe. So all you need is a 1-inch 1-inch electrical conduit pipe that you'd find at Lowe's or Home Depot or whatnot. And there is the stand itself. It kind of sits like a tripod, but it's more like a quad pod, I guess. So there's a bracket on one end where the 1-inch electrical conduit slides over two supports on one end. And there's a horizontal 1-inch pipe that goes through that bracket. So it kind of supports it on one end. On the other end of the stand is the same setup. So you have one horizontal pipe in the middle, and that pipe goes through two brackets, one on each end. And then each of those brackets on the end also have two legs, and the electrical conduit pipe slides over those legs. So you kind of have your own little stand that you can break down and set up if you need to. You can, you know, make it, you can put it in your car or take it wherever you need to. And some people even take, if they're shooting something that's powerful, they'll put like a rebar in the ground inside the legs of the electrical conduit so it doesn't fall over. But so you have the stand, and then there's these hooks that I've designed that will slide over the conduit. So the hooks slide over the conduit, and the actual hook part will hook into your target and allow it to give whenever you shoot it.
Now, is that, I got a question about the hooks, because I run into this with another steel target company that I won't name because their quality is not nearly as good, and that may have been the issue. But I bought that stand setup, and I call it an A-frame style setup. Once you get the conduit and everything in it, that makes basically a swing set frame is what it makes.
Yeah.
And you're only limited to space by how long your legs are. That's what's crazy. Because the little pieces that are going to come from A1 steel are, you know, they're fairly small. So, as long as you don't have big, you know, 6-foot legs or something like that on it, you know, you could easily carry it in the backseat of the car or something even.
Yeah.
But I got that set up, from you, and I already had some small, silhouette style targets, and the holes that were in those were not big enough to fit on, the hooks that you guys do. So is there a standard size for those holes, or do y'all make those specifically just to fit your targets?
I've looked to see if there was a standard out there to conform with. We ended up just doing 5/8-inch holes on all of our targets, and that seems to work pretty well. And because a lot of people buy our hooks and use it with their existing metal they have wherever they get it from. So we kind of did some research as far as, you know, what's out there, what do other people do, you know, on their target hooks, or on their targets, what kind of holes they put on them. And I think, you know, we kind of find a range, but, you know, we also want to find something that suits, you know, we like to have something that suits the majority of the people. And so we settled on 5/8 hole.
Right.
And that seems to work. That seems to work the best.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't too terribly surprised when these from that other company didn't fit, and I had to try to cut the hole a little larger. And I'm not the best with a cutting torch and a welder and all of that kind of stuff. Now there's some talk out there. Armament Axis is talking about how 550 is better. He was telling me the other day that with those ratings, they're a minimum rating, right?
Yes, or they should be. So the when they do, whenever you order metal or they do a production run, they do samples. And there's actually if you buy metal from any reputable metal guy, they should be able to provide you what's called a mill test report. I've got one in front of me. I can send it to you later if you wanted to circulate around so people can kind of see what it is.
Yeah, sure.
But, that'd be cool. So they basically show you what all the different chemicals are or alloys are that are put into the metal. And they also tell you the tensile strength, and then they tell you the BHN. So the BHN, that's the hardness number we're talking about. It's called the Brinell hardness test. And so I don't know the ins and outs of the test and what it comprises of, but you know, they will take, when they do these sheets, for me, the sheets are 8 foot wide, 20 foot long. And so there's three different sheets on this production run. And so they'll take a sample of each one and they will tell you this plate serial number has this Brunel hardness. This one has this one. So I'm looking right here, like, you know, I ordered AR500. So this came back. One sheet was 504. The next one was 515. Whoa. And the next one, then the next one was 530. So you kind of don't know what you're going to get, but you should be at least getting, if you buy AR500, you should be at least getting 500, and it should only go up from there.
Wow. And those 500 numbers, that's the frontal hardness.
Brunel hardness.
The BHN. Yeah, BHN.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool. And the reason I say that's pretty cool, I reload, and of course I cast my own lead and a lot of stuff like that. And when casting your own lead, I've actually got a BHN tester.
It's a gun, right?
No, this one is a die that goes in your reloading press.
Uh-huh.
And it's spring loaded. And so you put it's got a little thing that you set your bullet in once you casted it, right? And you run your round up into that die, and it's spring loaded. I'm guessing so many pounds of pressure or whatever, and it'll click when it does its thing. And then you take it out, and what that does is it's got like a pin in there, almost like a center punch or something, right? And it makes a little hole. And then you've got this little microscope looking thing that you measure the hole with that little microscope. Uh-huh. And depending on, it's got graduated measurements. And then depending on the graduations, you go to the chart and it'll tell you what the BHN is. And I say that just to say that, like, hard cast lead is like 18 BHN. So for that to be 500, that's pretty, you know, that's pretty serious, man. That's pretty serious.
Yeah. And the mill test report, there's one other interesting piece of information on here. It says, you know, if anyone watches Forged and Fire, they have, you know, you see them like quelching the blade or whatever to make it hard, you know. And on this thing, it shows the heat temperature, and it shows that they quelch this metal at 1665 degrees for 23 minutes.
Wow.
It's kind of interesting. Also, the Brunel hardness, you know, I have talked to the guy before about we're looking at getting into body armor. Mm-hmm. You know, and so with body armor, you don't want it to be 3/8 of an inch, you don't want it to be half of an inch, you want it to be 1/4 of an inch if you can. Right. And the best bang for your best bang for your buck, the highest quality metal you can get out there, Brunel hardness rating wise, is a AR650, which they make, but you will pay a pretty penny for it. I mean, mostly used in heavy mining operations.
Now, is that something that y'all are, you know, pretty seriously looking into at this point?
It is, but not the 650. Normally, whenever I enter into a new product line,
well, like I just meant the armor plate. Is what I meant.
Yeah, no, I will be. I'm looking. We're in the process of finalizing a new build out on the shop, and then I've got to get a plate roller, and those are.
That's, you know, what I was fixing to ask with getting the carbon on there. That's probably a whole lot different equipment than what you're.
I've got a buddy I met at a gun show who used to sell these. He used to sell the. He worked at a machine shop, and they used to sell the plate vests and everything. And his business partner stole money from him. They ended up going under. But he said, "Hey, I've got all the G code to cut this stuff out. I'll tell you where we get all the vests and everything, and you know, just hook me up on metal in the future." I'm like, that's cool. Like, that's fine. Just help me out. So I'm ready to pull the trigger, you know, he's going to be there to help me, you know, get through the market on that.
Now, any plans on doing a coating with those or anything crazy like you see? Or?
Yes. And actually he said that's a company. He told me the company's out of Texas, and it's like a sleeve, they sell the sleeve. So, I didn't really get into deep talks with him, but from what he made it sound like is you take your bent piece of or rolled piece of metal and you slide it into a some sort of a neoprene or rubber sleeve that's got that coating on the outside. And I wasn't really clear if it if you had to like heat it up to seal it off or what, but you know, kinda I've like got a, notes.
Like a, maybe kind of like a shrink wrap type situation or something.
Yeah, something like that. But he made it sound like it was pretty thick stuff, and the guys he bought it from also sell to other guys, and it made it sound like it's kind of the industry standard, right, sort of a thing.
Yeah, gotcha. Now, you know, you bring up selling to other guys. Do you guys source other people that sell targets as well, or do you pretty much the only?
Yes. Yeah. We have wholesale pricing, and we'll sell to gun shops. And there's a guy out of California. He has some weird custom. I say weird. I hope he's not on the podcast. He has some. he has some.
They all know they're weird out there. You're not hurting.
He's got some alternative hooks and brackets out there, and his source he was getting them from. I think the quality wasn't there anymore, and I don't remember what it was. So he sent me physically the, what he was having before, and I was able to sketch it out, and I sent him samples back. He confirmed them, so now I private label to him, and he just sells them. I normally have like a minimum order quantity, like $500 or something like that, if people are going to do that with me. That way, it's worth both of our times. It's not worth my time if I'm going to give good pricing to someone and they order $30 worth of, or you know, $100 worth of stuff. I mean, it's not really worth it at that point.
Right. Yeah. Understandable. Now,
hey Kirk, I got a couple of questions if you don't mind, Clover.
Go ahead. Jump in there.
The first one is kind of the custom thing. Will you take custom orders if someone wants to cut a custom design, or are you pretty much going to have, you know, what you guys have in stock?
Yes, I can do that, but bear with us on time because we are extremely busy. And
I need it yesterday. I need it yesterday, and if you can't do that, I'm going somewhere else. I mean, that's just, I'm sorry.
Yeah, some guy wanted a dueling tree from me, and I was like, look, it's going to take me at least a week to weld it up for you. And he's like, I got to go somewhere else. I'm like, that's fine. I just can't do it. But we do custom. We do custom work, and we don't typically charge fees, like a design fee on that stuff. I'll tell you, not typically. That way it's, you know, that way it promotes, you know, people want to come to us for work, and that's why we are busy.
And that just gives you another product to push or sell.
Exactly.
Too. You never know what design, you know, it may blow up. You may sell a bunch of them, you know?
Yeah. You know, let me tell you that. I'll tell you a quick story or a funny story here. We had a guy contact us and he said, I want you to make a custom dueling tree for us. I said, okay, what do you want? He's like, I want it to be a penis dueling tree. And we're like, really? I want it to.
Okay.
And he said he wanted them to be smaller as it went down the tree, as like a test for accuracy. Okay, buddy. So he sent us designs, and we welded it up for him and sent it out. I mean, if you want something crazy and custom, we'll do it. Huh?
I don't think you're gonna want to mass market that. I really don't think you'll sell a lot.
I don't think so either.
I could be wrong, but that's one thing I really don't want to be shooting projectiles at. That's it kind of makes me a little nervous. Mike out there with MW Tactical, and he does a lot of training. In fact, he's looking to start up like a youth camp thing and some stuff like that. And I can't remember, where's he out of, Ghost? You know, I can't
remember. He's South Carolina.
South Carolina, right. New, one of the Carolinas. So, Mike, if you're out there, if you're listening, I can shoot you Kirk's email. I can put you in touch with him, and that may be the best way if you're talking about multiple types of targets and stuff like that. A larger order or something like that. Maybe a little easier. Now you're talking about the custom stuff, and I've seen you've got like zombies and Bigfoots and all kinds of weird things. Have you ever done any bowling pins?
Yes, we've sold to a gun club here in Oklahoma, and they had bowling pins, diamonds, and a couple other like piano keys and a couple other Thanks. To be honest, we could sell them. I just haven't, you know, it takes time to put together a listing, and I'm going, we just got so much stuff to do most of the time that I haven't had a chance to put them up. But I mean, yeah, we have done bowling pins.
Right. Yeah. Hughes are out there. He says a Bigfoot would be cool.
Yeah. They
how
like
big, how big is that Bigfoot, by the way?
Oh, I think it's about, I think it's about 9 to 10 inches tall and about 5 inches wide.
Okay, that's a pretty decent sized target. Yeah.
We're getting ready. I think we just made pricing. We just had the pricing. I think we're just pushing listings out on the different sizes. So we're going to have a small, medium, and large of each one of those, like the zombie rabbit, coyote, we just made a deer, it's not up yet, and then there's the boar, and we've had a lot of requests for a larger boar size, so we're those will be rolling out in the next a couple weeks.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially some of the ones I know some guys that they like to pig hunt, and they like to do, you know, some long distance shots and stuff like that on them. So if they had a larger, you know, more. I don't want to say life size. You couldn't load it in the pickup. Good Lord! But
well, we made the large, anyway. The biggest one we made was for Hilux scopes or Hilux optics, and they ordered a 3-foot gong from us, and they said they were doing YouTube videos with it, and it was huge. It was 150 pounds, I think.
Yeah, that's something you're going to be shooting at 1,000 yards or 1,500 yards or something.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of opens up a question real quick is, for the viewers out there, obviously you're still handle, you know, probably point blank stuff with handgun, but, you know, at what distance is at least the minimum distance that you would like to see some high caliber rifle shots with, just so people don't go by it and then sit there and say, well, I shot my a 308 from 25 yards, and you know obviously it needs to be at a certain distance. Is there a minimal distance that you will tell the customers?
I mean, we tell them don't shoot it closer than 100 yards if you're shooting with a rifle. When you're hanging up a target, there's a lot of factors that go into that. Quickly on the wherever the point of impact is, if it's 100 yards, 200, 300, whatever you're shooting it at, it's the thing that damages targets is speed. Speed kills. You know, if you're shooting, I've had guys that have shot a target at 4,000 feet per second, and it'll just put a hole clean right through it. And they weren't bitching about it or upset about it. They showed me. And I mean, you get around the 3,000 feet per second mark, and it'll take some light damage around that. And the higher up you go, you know, I think it's kind of more of an exponential curve as far as the type of damage you're going to give to it. A lot of it goes into how you're hanging up the target. You know, some guys will invariably hang up a target on a fixed surface. They will bolt it to a 2x4 rail, right, or something.
There's no give or anything at all.
Exactly. There's no give. And, you know, our preferred method of hanging this stuff up is either through the hooks and bracket system that we have, or we're getting ready to start selling chain as well to hang it up. And so if you can hang it up where the target is at a slight angle away from you, the base of the target is hanging away from you, not only will that help save the life of your target, but whenever you're shooting at it, it will also deflect that metal into the ground versus, you know, into the sky or somewhere else unsafe.
Oh yeah, definitely. We got out there. There was something out there, and they got to talking about so many other things. It was Calaveras out there was saying AR-500 typically you want less than 3,000 feet a second. Yeah, I've always been told 2,800 feet a second at 100 yards. You don't want to get any higher than that. And then if you hang it right, you can get away. You know, sometimes you can get away if you're pushing, you know, 2,200 to 2,500, and it's hung right, you can get away with sometimes 50 or 75 yards. You know, but the cool thing, and you know, I can't stress this enough, I was blown away at the quality of your stuff. at the price. Because I forgot, but I got, what, 3 6-inch for $40 shipped, I want to say, or something. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right.
$40-$45 shipped for three. You know, when you're talking, shipping eats you alive. So, I mean, you know, anytime that it's a decent cost that somebody charges you for shipping, it's always great. But
yeah,
but at that price, what I was fixing to say is buy a three pack, you know, shoot that first one. And, you know, if you want to shoot it at 50 yards or 75 yards, you know, shoot one and see. And then, you know, don't just keep hammering on it, but shoot one and see. And then you've still got two. If it doesn't work out, you can go, okay, well, I need to back up, right, on these other two. So that's one good thing, is at least you're not spending this exorbitant amount, you know, and then ended up ruining a target.
Yeah.
Now Ghost will get this one. Maverick out there says, can he make a tilapia target that we can send to Braden?
Absolutely.
That might be, I doubt we'll be able to get, especially once my newest video releases, I doubt we'll be able to get the, address for Braden. So, Calaveras is being funny. He says, how about a 416 Barrett at 25 yards? Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Let's check the, gun channel side. Michael over there is asking, is there an eBay store or just listed? Let me see if I can.
There, I just sent you the link to the eBay store.
Okay. Was that email?
It was, yes.
Okay. Give me just a second, Michael, and I will pull up the, eBay store here. I'll pull up the link he's got. There it is. Oh, okay. Yep, that's where I bought the bought mine from. That looks like the name anyway. So let me put that out there, and also that over on the. There we go. There's the eBay, and remember, High Caliber Targets is on Amazon as well. So some people prefer that, I know, over eBay. So that eBay Amazon battle, but there's the eBay also. Naha user says, how much for a special order tactical leprechaun target? Well, if you can draw it out, user, he said earlier that, you know, they do custom stuff. They don't charge for that. So you would just have to figure out how you want that to look and go from there. Let's see. What else we got coming in here? Let's scroll up and see if I've missed anybody. We're talking about the Glocks and stuff like that. Now I did see, I don't know who mentioned it, but I did see something above, and I don't know how much you keep up with this, Kirk or anything, but they were talking about with the new tariffs and all the stuff that Trump's got going on and this, that, and the other, you know, are there any concerns with, you know, how that's going to affect the price of your steel? Of course, if you lock into that big pile of steel that you said that one company had, I guess
yeah,
it won't be a problem there for a while, but.
Oh no, it won't be there. We, you know, we have the prices have increased at least on the 3/8. So, it was after the first round of, price increases went through. We, it took a little bit cause we still have a lot of stock, right? So, like, even when prices increased, you know, I was still insulated quite a bit because we still, you know, I still got 70 sheets on the floor. I mean, it takes a while to go through 70 sheets of steel, 3/8. So, you know, eventually I came around and we rose our prices. The place I haven't risen the prices is on Etsy. And that's our next place we're going to go. It takes a while to go through and because you can't do it. It's not like a flat line. You just raise it every target a certain amount of money. Like, there's a certain formula we go by when we do it, but it has changed. I think the rates right now for 3/8 is about 88 cents a pound, something like that. And then I used to be able to get around the 70 something cents a pound, and that's the numbers those guys talk. I normally I normally like to say, "Hey, how much is a sheet of this stuff?" And I go right. by that. But right. they're all in the poundage is how they work.
Do you know how much the sheet that you get? How much do you know how much that weighs?
The half inch either weighs 600 or 800 pounds, and then the 3/8, I forget. I think it's either 500 or 600 pounds because. It depends on the size that I get, but most of the time they're about five foot by 8 foot long.
Right. Wow. Shout out to a few out there. I've seen music lovers come in, Jumpy and the Outlaw, Vanessa Kitty out that way. Who else we got? It was two or three. Enrique's out there. Budget dropped by. I think he said he had to bail for work.
Jumpy had a question out there. One of those chromium skills is any good for targets?
Yeah, he's getting all technical with stuff.
Is what steel?
Chromium steel.
I do not know. I mean, I know that there's chromium in the AR-500. I don't know the amount that's in it, but I do know there's chromium in there. But in and of itself, I do not know. Chromium's normally a... I mean, that's what you coat bumpers and stuff with, and that's normally a very thin, like, coating. I've not known someone to have, like, a thicker hunk.
Right.
Yeah.
A solid chromium bumper.
Yeah.
Right. That might be heavy, right? So.
Yeah.
Looks like the doctor has come in. What is Calaveras out there? He says he'll be shooting. If he gets some, he'll be shooting them with a 223. 25-45 sharps, 308. So he'd be going with the half inch. I think you'll be good on those.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you're out 100 yards, I don't think you're going to have a problem there at all.
You shouldn't. It just, like I said, it just depends on the velocities. So, I mean, people talk about, you know, what can I shoot it with and not. And at the end of the day, it boils down to your velocity. That's going to be the determining factor.
Leave it to Too Hotty to ask for a discount, right? Too Hotty says, "What coupon code can I give them for the faithful followers?" You know, and I will say thank you, Kirk, because Kirk, they did. Who was that won it? Mad Sexy? No, it wasn't. Mad Sexy won the bipod. Who won the target? Who won the target? Snowy Gunslinger. Who won the target? He got it today, as a matter of fact. So y'all ship that out quick, by the way. So thanks for that. But yeah, they donated a 6-inch for the for last week's 1500 sub giveaway. So thanks for that for sure, Kirk. We appreciate it, and I know all the guys out there appreciate it too. I don't know. That may be something, Hotty, that we might could possibly work on in the future.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I said earlier, their prices are. They're on par with crappier steel targets, I promise you. I don't want to say crappier. Did I say crappier? That implies that yours are crappy. They're not as crappy. So, yeah, but they're on par with crappy steel targets, I should say, not crappier. So, I don't really see. You see anything else, Ghost, that we may have missed?
No, we kind of caught up.
Yeah, I think we're pretty caught up. So, and we're running up pretty close to the hour here. But so let's jump off the whole target thing, and let's talk about you for a minute, Kirk. I'm sure probably they'd be interested to hear. You know, obviously, without here, we talk about Second Amendment issues and all of that a lot. You know, where do you stand on that? I mean, as far as a gun owner. You know, do you carry, do you hunt where do you line up with all that?
No, I am for Second Amendment rights. I mean, it's been a while since I've hunted. I do carry occasionally, but, I would say I probably fall in line with most other gun carrying Second Amendment right Americans.
Right. You know, you're not on board with all of this, ban that, ban assault.
No, that just makes me nervous. I can't stand the extreme left, man. The stuff that comes out of there is just it's hard to listen to.
Right, right. Calaveras out there. He says high quality, low price.
Hey, I like that.
There you go. High quality, low price.
We'll set up something. I'll set up some sort of a. It'll be probably a window time frame where we'll do like a discount code or something like that. You know, for a certain time frame.
Yeah. Jumping off that, I guess, and back to the steel thing. For just a minute, comparing with some of the other stuff I've got before. What are some of the methods you use? Use a basically state of the art, right? A table type.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other methods that some of these other guys are using? Because the ones I got some before I got yours a few months or so before, I'd picked up some. They were probably about the same price as y'all's, maybe a little more expensive, honestly. Got them in, and you know, the holes for them wasn't exactly round, and they were kind of beveled, the cut on the edges, and they weren't really cut with a torch, I don't think, but they were, it's almost like they were hand cut. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I have sold sheets of my metal secondhand to guys that cut their own targets. And so it's not uncommon for someone who wants to hand cut their own stuff. And surprisingly, people are really good at it. I say not compared to machine, you know, but you know, as far as handheld, there are some guys out there that you know, they're pretty good at it, but they just don't have the money to drop, you know, 20, 30 grand or more on a table to cut this stuff out, and they'll do it by hand. And yeah, you're going to get bevels, and you're going to get all, you can't cut a perfect circle. Hell, no one can even draw a perfect circle.
Right.
So,
and sharp edges is one thing I had to say about it. You had to be really careful because yours are not that way. But these were like, the edges were in spots were really sharp, and you had to be careful. I mean, you could literally cut yourself with them. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Another asking out there something about a plasma type burn table or water jet.
They've got different.
I'm not familiar with the equipment. So,
yeah, there's a bunch of different ways you can cut it out. You can have a plasma system. You can have a water jet system. You can have a laser system. You know, a lot of people do not like the plasma system. That is what I have, and most people want to say when it heats it up, it causes damage or causes problems with the where the torch head, you know, cuts through that metal at. But I've not had any problems with people saying, you know, like whenever you shoot it, and if it hits right on that edge, it does just as well as it does in the middle of the target. The difference on those tables is price, because a high quality plasma table will cost, you know, 30 to 50 grand. A water jet and a laser table, those all cost, you're looking at six figures. Those are expensive tables.
Well, so, in the plasma, I would think you would run into more of an issue, like you said, with the guys out there that are cutting their own, you know, and they're doing it with a, you know, oxygen acetylene torch or whatever it might be. That's going to cut differently, right? That's going to be higher temperature anyway or something. And potentially cause it to be the issues that you're talking about.
With Hypertherms, who manufactures the plasma system I use, and they have it down where you say, hey, I'm going to be cutting 3/8 inch steel. The torch head knows it, before it does a cut, it goes down and touches the metal, and it knows, hey, the best optimum way to pierce this metal is at 0.14 inches off the surface. I pierce for this long, and then I will, you know, then the recommended inches per minute, you know, so it's got the most optimized speed and cutting ability, you know, already pre-programmed to cut out the target. So it's optimized to the best speed. Guys that don't know what they're doing, or they don't know when they change out consumables, and they don't know to keep their water, you know, up high, because if, you know, we keep the water table high, you know, it's not going to cause a lot of heat. If you're cutting small stuff, you can get warpage if you don't know what you're doing, or if you don't change your stuff out in time, you know, or you're if you're on a plasma table, the plasma gets focused through a nozzle, and if that nozzle gets wallered out, it will cause your holes to be all jacked up, and you know, it's just lazy maintenance if for some people, if they don't know what they're doing. And that's just on the machine side. If you're doing it by hand, it could right. be a lot worse.
Yeah, and if I'm doing it by hand, yeah, it's even worse than that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I told you I had to try to open up the hole in these so they would fit the hooks that I got from you guys. And golly, I fumbled around, and there's the most pitiful looking, you know, holes. And the holes were already there. All I had to do was open them up a little bit. And
on our hooks. I mean, some people want AR500 hooks, which we're getting ready to make those. You know, we haven't had pricing on them yet. But some people, what I put, and I honor this for anyone out there who wants to, you know, it happens to, but I tell everyone, I'll give you a lifetime warranty on my hooks and brackets. So what happens is if someone shoots the hooks or the brackets enough that mangles them or beyond where they can use them, tell me, send me a picture of it. I will shoot you a free pair. And I've done it twice, I think.
Yeah, that warranty, by the way, does not apply to Night Strike if he's out there, because we know what he would do to the.
Understand that he's safe because Night Strike wouldn't hit it anyways.
Well, he wouldn't hit the. Yeah, he wouldn't even be able to hit the frame. So yeah, he would be good. Yeah. But yeah, I mean that. I mean that makes sense. I don't have a big concern over the hooks and all that anyway. If you're shooting that far off, good gravy. I can get maybe where the hook goes through the target, especially if like you've got a silhouette target or something like that. I could see where, you know, that might be an issue, but it shouldn't mm-hmm. be that high up on the target anyway. I wouldn't think so. Let's see if we had anything else come in. A lot of dropping links. Looks like Calaveras is helping drop those links out there. So thanks for that. Calaveras.
There's a lot of people talking about getting like a Gun Channels G or something made up and stuff like that.
That would be cool. We could, I'm sure he could certainly design something like that if we wanted. That would kind of neat. What a giant Gun Channels G with a suspended bullseye target in the middle.
Yeah.
Something like that. Now, you mentioned chains earlier. Anything special about the chains you're going to offer, or just,
you know, they're made of a more durable metal. I mean, they're not made of AR500 metal, but it is made of, you know, a more stiffer, rigid, it's almost called brittle metal. I mean, when this AR500, the higher tensile strength metal and like bolts that are out there, they're almost called brittle, because when they break, they don't like bend, they actually snap or break. So I mean, the chains that we're going to be selling are not like a soft or malleable metal. They'll be more brittle, if that makes sense. But brittle in the sense of it's difficult to break, but when they do break, it'll be a break and not like a bend.
Yeah, right. So they should be able to withstand.
We're talking about Night Strike using a shotgun. Why would you want to use a metal a steel target for a shotgun?
I haven't. I haven't put any slugs on mine yet. But
that's slug, I could see maybe possibly.
That's going to be my next go, because I'm sure that sucker.
He's going to use a birdshot or something though.
It will ring if I put a slug on one. I'm sure. So, but let's see. What is what's Patriot? Patriot says that's cool. Chains. Like the rope. Oh, in the good, bad, and the ugly. That's a great idea. That's interesting. They're talking about not shooting the chain. So I heard a Gun Channels beat. Let's see. G-Webs. Yeah, G-Webs. G-Webs says he wants an 18-foot by 16-foot AR-550G 3/4-inch stick. So, you know,
you planning on using a 50 BMG or what?
I don't think the van would be able to get that back to Arizona once you went and picked it up. But he's probably wanting free shipping, knowing G's. You know how that goes sometimes. So yeah, we're a little past the hour. I know we got started late, but we're a little past the hour now. So I'll Ghost, you got anything you want to plug or say or whatever before we get out of here?
No, just a reminder of the ATF comments ends June 27th at midnight. So go over to Gun Owners of America or the Firearms Policy Coalition. They have links on both those websites to get to the comment section and let your voice be heard. Don't let them mess with rate of fire.
Yep, exactly right. And yeah, Kirk, A1 custom targets, A1. Yeah, I guess custom targets. Facebook links are all out there. Calaveras has put them. I put them on the Gun Channel side as well. You've got Facebook and then Amazon under High Caliber. And then also the eBay is out there. The seller, where's it at?
I think the link I sent you just takes you straight to the store.
Yeah, it's like Quality Motor Parts, I think, is the
That's right, seller. Yeah. Originally started off some motorcycle stuff.
So out of Broken Arrow, and they're at Tulsa Arms Show. So hook up with everybody else from Gun Channels. Maybe in November they'll be there, and you can just buy them and take them home, and you don't have to worry about. You can handle the merchandise before you purchase it, so to speak. So anything we missed or you want to add before we get out of here, Kirk?
I don't believe so. I look forward to doing more drawings for you guys, and I hopefully I can get some. Get a coupon code out to you guys soon for something like that.
Well, I know that'll probably be contingent on the website and some other things. So,
Oh yeah. I was going to tell you on the AR 500 we sell, that's half inch. It will be 550 soon, but we're not changing the listings to show it's 550. It's not worth our time. And when people look for AR 500 on the website on eBay and Amazon, they're just looking for AR 500. So I'll let you know when we get that in, it should be soon. But when it does switch over, people that are buying 500 will actually be getting 550, 560 or 570 abrasive rating, which is one hell of a deal.
Will that be, and will y'all put that, or you're going to put that in the fine print somewhere?
No, probably not. Probably it's not really worth it. But I'll let you know. So if any of your people want to know what the ratings are, what actually comes back on the mill reports, I can let you know.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. But the 550, I mean, if you treat it right, it's gonna do the job for you, I think.
Oh yeah.
Well, Kirk, thanks for jumping in, and hopefully we'll have you back. We'll have you back soon. We'll talk about maybe some other things, news related or Second Amendment or whatever. If you're willing to do that, you're certainly welcome.
Great. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
So that'll do it for tonight, crew. I'm going to try to close everything down here real quick. And before I do, just remind you, it's Friday. So the weekend, relax, have some fun, spend time with friends. Family, tell those kids you love them. Yes, it is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to everybody out there. And, yeah, go to the range, do some shooting if you can, have fun, and above all, be safe. We will catch you next week. Bye.